Those are the problems of having a name like Tendulkar. I was in India 2 weeks ago, and every time I go there, the customs, everyone goes through, but I have to talk about cricket for at least half an hour to the customs official. Looks at my name and then, you know, what happened in England and who batted. So I have to read up about all of this, otherwise I probably wouldn't be let into the country. I may be related. So thank you, everyone. I'm the last speaker, so I'll try and be as to the point as possible. Now, I'm going to show you two pages of statistics because I think it was a famous Englishman who said, damned lies and statistics. And my point is that statistics don't really show the whole picture. But they are useful. So just in terms of CSIRO, let's just have a look at some statistics for the budget 2007-08. The universities, and I think these statistics are right, are getting something like $5.8 billion. CSIRO gets $0.7 billion from the government. And then we earn externally from other sources $0.3 billion, including IP. And so CSIRO's total budget is $1 billion, so it's quite a large budget. And that supports about 6,500 people in 20 to 30 divisions and six flagships. Of the 0.3 billion, only 33 million is revenue from IP and from assets companies. And so it's only 3% of the $1 billion. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, you know, Kimji said that R&D should be useful for corporates, but my point is that sometimes corporates don't know what R&D they need. And so you do need to do certain R&D, which is, green field, and later on you find the use for it. So you can't always drive things from a deterministic process and say, this is what I need today, tomorrow, next year, and that's all the R&D we do. So part of the money CSIRO uses goes into things like greenhouse gas elimination, climate change, things which will affect all of us in Australia and which are absolutely essential, but no corporate is investing in at the moment. So that's a quite a valid point. At the bottom, you can see that the IP revenues have been rising. They were about $20 million in 2004-05 and gone up to $33 million. So that implies that we in the commercialization area of CSIRO are becoming more efficient or we are employing more people. Now, the second of statistics, which is the last page of statistics I'll be showing, is a very well-known page. I think someone's trying to show that Australia is not spending enough money on R&D as a percentage to GDP. It's only spending 1.8, and shock and horror, Finland's spending 3.5, and that's why they get companies like Nokia, whatever, and Germany 2.5, and Japan 3.2. Well, is this really going to make a big difference to the outcomes? So let me just go to the crux of what my argument is. And my argument is that only a small fraction of R&D outcomes is being utilized effectively by industry. We're spending all this money on R&D, and no one knows what R&D is being done, where it's being done, and how it can be accessed. So I think the improvement of the R&D knowledge is very important, that is increasing the awareness of the market of what R&D is being undertaken by research organizations, and providing funding for advisors and resources to convey this knowledge to the industry. And we've had various breakfasts with SMEs. You have them at 7 in the morning, which is an ungodly time. They usually come because they're getting a fantastic free breakfast. And, hey, they might be able to sell something to CSIRO, So they're very optimistic. And funny enough, once they start talking to us, suddenly they say, that's useful. We want to do that. Was that me? We want to do that. Can we cooperate? And we had one recently where, we got three or four major collaborations with industry, with SMEs and other companies by them coming to CSIRO. So this awareness is very important, and I don't think enough is being done in Australia in connecting SMEs to either universities or CSIRO to transfer the knowledge of what R&D is available. Improving R&D processes, I'll talk about briefly in the next few slides. But essentially, are our R&D processes efficient? We do projects. We don't know what they're going to produce at the beginning. They might infringe other people's patents. At the end of the project, we might shelve them. But who has really benefited? So if we can make that process more efficient and manage both the IP and the commercial outcomes of the project from the beginning, we'll also get much better outcomes and efficiency in the commercialization. We all know that protection of IP is like being in a boat which is sinking. It's leaking. You know, the researchers are talking to everyone. So every minute, the IP is leaking out. And the crew, instead of taking buckets to pull the water out from a sinking ship, are doing the other thing. They're putting more water in. They're talking to more people. So it's really a fight to make sure you're protecting your IP. Then you get the very common case where a brilliant researcher comes to you and says, hey, I've got a great invention. Let's protect it. And you say, well, how do you know it's a great invention? He says, well, I've already earned a few $100,000 on it. We all know that if you use a patent commercially before you register it, you can't patent it. So this whole education of researchers, bringing awareness of what projects are being undertaken is really crucial. And the recent government report on Australian Manufacturing Today and Tomorrow by the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Economics, Finance and Public Administration in July came to the same conclusion that more funding is needed for advisors and resources to convey this knowledge to industry. So if you look at their recommendation for Thyro, they looked at what Thyro was doing, and I'm not going to read the whole thing out to you except just the bold print there, recommendation 16, that the committee recommends that Thyro receive additional funding. It doesn't say who from, but from somewhere. I hope it's the government. To employ more staff dedicated to liaising with individual, especially small and medium-sized businesses, business organizations, and the new industry productivity centers, which I do want to talk about in a minute. So it is recognized we need more people, whether they're intermediaries or advisors, to connect the research organizations to industry. What I'll do in the next slide, before I come to the university one, is just talk a bit about improving R&D processes. So in Thyro, we're actually doing a lot now to make our actual projects more efficient. And one project might be between $3 million and $10 million and might last 3 years. So what we're doing now to make sure that we get the best value out of these projects is in the infancy of the project on the left, we do an IP search. Because the last thing you want is to spend $3 million and find out you've done research which has already been patented by someone else. And then, that's a real waste of time. So we do IP landscape searches. We do identify critical blocking patterns. And if necessary, we stop the project at that point if we find that it's totally blocked by other people's patents and spend the money on some other project. We also do a short freedom to operate to make sure that we can actually make use of any commercialization outcomes. Now, it may well be that there are projects which have no commercialization outcomes. These are public good projects, in which case we would proceed without any further ado, but still we have to be aware of whether these public good projects are infringing other people's IP. In the mid-cycle of the project, we continue on, we analyze claims of valid patents and make sure we're not infringing, and at the end, we also do a landscape search, and we do a full freedom to operate, because when you commercialize and license technology, you have to be sure that you're not infringing anyone else's IP and it's not encumbered and you're totally free to license it. We also do a competitor analysis and look at invention disclosures at the beginning of the project. We review this and we start with the patenting process if necessary, do a full market analysis at the end, and finally at the bottom on the left in green, we allocate our business development commercialization IP project managers to each project. They work up strategies. The strategies might be, these are the clients we want to work with, this is why this technology is useful, this is how we'll go to the market, or the summary might be, there is no commercial outcome for this project, it's only public good. And then at the end of the project, we continue with the licensing and commercialization activities. So what I'm saying is, in addition to all this, what we need to do is to have the liaison and communication to industry about what we're doing. So I think because time's coming up, I just want to say for universities, the recommendation was the same. The committee urges universities to consider appointing more industry liaison officers to facilitate contacts between universities and local industry, which is really an excellent thing. And that's from this source. So I'd like to end there, and thank you very much.